Are you building deeper connections with your clients and prospects? And could you do that by focusing on a business development program instead of whatever it is you're doing today? We'll talk about that in a moment.
Welcome to the Brand Telling Podcast, where we share secrets, systems, and strategies you can use to unleash the power of story to build and grow your brand. The Brand Telling Podcast is brought to you by the award-winning team at Communication Strategy Group, bringing a combined 50-plus years of publishing, agency and client strategy, creative and tactical marketing experience. Please welcome your hosts, Principal and Chief Brand Teller, Arthur Germain, and Creative Director, Michael Simbrom.
My guest today is Adam Holzer. Adam is the founder and master connector of Connections for Hire. Adam works with companies to help them build their ability for business development through making deeper connections. Adam's passionate about working with business owners who are motivated to find new ways to improve their results, and he provides strategic advice in the areas of business development, sales, marketing, and advertising. However, Adam's greatest strength is his ability to connect his clients to meaningful opportunities which deliver strong results and greater efficiency. Since 2010, Adam has practiced in the area of business development. He successfully partnered with a digital marketing and advertising agency, helping them grow from a team of 5 to a team of 19 in under 3 years. The outcome of this partnership led to a revenue increase of 400% while expanding the overall business and brand. And because of Adam's contagious enthusiasm for building relationships and making connections, his colleagues often refer to him as the master connector. So welcome to the podcast, Adam Holzer. Adam Holzer, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Adam, I'm really excited to have you here. We're both based on Long Island, to let my audience know. And despite that, we've threatened to get together a few times, just have not managed to. So here under pandemic, from our own homes, we've finally managed to get together, and I do appreciate the time with you.
I came to my office for this podcast purposely because I said I need a better visual environment. And then I realized
there you go.
We're on audio. So rock and roll.
I have not been back to my office in probably 75, 80 days. So I do plan to get back there, but I decided I'd do the good thing, harbor at home, and stay in as much as possible. Adam, let me start off by asking you to kind of describe yourself and your business Connections for Hire. I think it's a fascinating idea, and I'd love to have you describe it and yourself to the audience.
Great, thank you. So, Arthur, there is a thought leader out there. His name is Simon Sinek. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
And absolutely. Start with why.
Start with why. So I'm going to start with my why. My why in general as an entrepreneur is I just genuinely love helping people and I love business. As simple as that. I love helping people and I love business. And I've been very fortunate over the years to learn of an unconventional talent that I have that I'm passionate about. And that's helping people connect. And I think connecting is the starting root of the growth that you want to see, the prosperity that you want to encounter. So Connections for Hire stems from my desire and love for helping people connect through the benefit of business development.
So maybe you could differentiate, because I think people are listening to connecting and hearing you say that, and they're thinking, well, I go out there and I'm networking. Maybe you can help differentiate a little bit between what you're talking about as a business development professional, what most people think of as networking, and even what people may think of as marketing and sales. So, you know, maybe you can kind of differentiate that whole spectrum for me.
Sure. So there's a saying that I preach pretty often, and that's relationships before business. I've been in the networking world for about 8 years. You know, I started my first corporation when I was about 24 or 25 years old. That was almost about 8 years ago. And that's when I started to network. And one of the things that I realized was most people that network have commission breath. And you talk about trying to be authentic and genuine and being who you are, which you shouldn't necessarily need to try to be. But one of the things that really turned me off about networking was that people just looked at me as a potential commission. They looked at me as a potential sale. They looked at me as someone that had a big book of relationships that they were trying to get in the door of. And to answer your question, business development is a more efficient way of networking. By building the relationships, you know, I'm sure you've heard people say you do business with people that you like. How do you know you like them if you don't get to know them? I've taken a significant amount of pride in building the relationships that I have in business, because those relationships, it's planting a seed. It's watering that seed. It's giving it sunlight. It's giving it nutrition. It's giving it the opportunity to grow and prosper into something special. Unfortunately, networking has caused a little bit of a taboo phrase. You know, for example, if you change one letter in networking, if you just take the E and turn it into an O, you get not working.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, a lot of networking, what it's become is people that show up at a diner or they show up for a cup of coffee, they sit next to the same people every week, and they're not developing and growing and prospering from the respect of getting to know each other outside of that atmosphere. I think that people need to know, like, you know what? I've been married for 3 years. My wife and I have a daughter that's 2.5. I genuinely love the outdoors. I enjoy going to music concerts. Like, learn who I am. Get to know me. Because if you get to know me, you might enjoy doing business with me more. Hey, you might not like me. You might not want to do business with me, but at least you've gotten to know me. And it's not just that you've gotten to know me and I'm a good person, but I need to compliment, or there needs to be a compliment of working together. My dad always told me that if it doesn't complement, then it complicates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, Arthur, you know, you've been in the networking world for a while. You know, I'm sure you've met people that, you know, you walk into a room and you're like, oh, this person's there. They're going to try to sell me this, or they're, and no one should ever have to feel that way when walking into a room. People should feel comfortable. They should feel that sense of community.
Right. And I think you're right. I think I think that's often missing in some of the older, you know, especially in some of the older networking groups that I'm aware of. Where, you know, you mentioned, you know, the groups that, you know, meet at a diner, that, you know, they literally come in with a little list of, you know, who did we make referrals for today and who owes me a referral, and you know, and it just seems like it's a real real quid pro quo, to use a phrase in the media today, that you know, that's all that's expected, and it's not building that relationship. And I think that's the interesting thing that you've kind of focused on there, is that idea of this being a relationship. Let me ask you then, or challenge you. So how do you, Adam, take your ability to connect, and then how do you use that and apply it for a client? So you may have connections that you're working for, but you have multiple clients. How do you use, whether it's your capability or whether it's the network you've developed, how do you use that to benefit your clients?
So I've always said, what's the value of a tailor-made connection? And what is a tailor-made connection? It could be connecting one of my clients to someone that works with a similar book of clients or business opportunities that they're looking to get into. But it's not just the connection that they both work with a similar book of business. It's the fact that they both live on the North Shore because they love the water and they enjoy kayaking. and they like to drink IPA beers, or they love to go on the boardwalk, or, you know, whatever the case is, they like to go sailing. I've always found a deeper way to make connections for people that's mutually beneficial. When you're able to connect to people, and I say this in my business model, there's two different types of connections that I make. The first type of connection is more so of a lead generation type of a connection, which is a business opportunity, a direct business opportunity when there's a need. You know, if you're in need of, for example, a plumber, and you you say, hey, I got a guy that, you know, I recommend, that's a direct opportunity. The other side of it is that referral partnership, maybe building a relationship with that plumber with a realtor, for example, or someone that works in remediation services that can recommend them. There needs to be a mutually beneficial side of the connection, because if it's not a two-way street, unfortunately, there could be an unbalance of, an unbalance of opportunity. Now, one of the things that I love about making the connections that I make is a lot of my clients service their own clients, and they're looking for vetted and qualified resources to have in their book of business that they can say to their client, hey, I have someone that can help you with your books, or I have someone that can help you with your contracts. And now if I made that connection between, let's say if one of my clients does business valuations, and if I connect my client to an attorney that specializes in partnership agreements. And let's say if that attorney who meets my client that does business valuations, let's say if that attorney now knows of a partnership that's happening and they need to divvy up the business, and now they have a resource, which is my client who does the business valuations, and vice versa, my client that does the business valuations, let's say if they're bringing in a partner into the business, and if they're a trusted advisor to the company that hired them to do the valuation, my client can say, I have an attorney that specializes in partnership contract law. I recommend you, it would be worthwhile for you to have a conversation with them. So I'm not just looking to build opportunities for my clients for them to earn new business. I'm looking to build connections for them to foster growth, to have resources, to have a new pipeline for opportunities, but more so to connect with a vetted resource that they now have a relationship with, that they've put the time, energy, and effort into getting to know.
That's great. I once back in the day, as we say, when I worked for a large company, we had hired a PR firm, and this PR firm didn't do what all the other PR firms did. They didn't say we pitch media, or we know all the media and we'll just get you in touch. Instead, they said we build capacity. And I always thought that was a remarkable way to look at it. What they were doing was they said, you know, you've got stories, and sometimes you have an immediate story to tell, but sometimes you're going to have a story to tell a little bit later. So they were building capacity. They were making those introductions early on so that we could have our CEO, have a meeting with the editorial board of the New York Times, and no expectation of an immediate story. That wasn't the point. The point was making introductions and building capacity for later. I think what you're talking about makes tremendous sense for helping clients to build their capacity for having those relationships and for building their networks in a true kind of more meaningful way. Would you agree?
I do agree, yes.
So let me ask you, you've mentioned the North Shore because, you know, we're both here on Long Island. Do you work with your clients beyond Long Island, or do you feel that it's really necessary to be, you know, physically close and physically in touch with the networks and the people that you're connecting with?
I don't necessarily have a geographic area of expertise right now or focus. I will say that I keep it to Long Island because my business is a startup, and being in that first year phase, I don't want to spread myself too thin. I have had potential clients reach out to me from the New Jersey area, the Connecticut area, And I've respectfully declined earning that business only because I'm a very big believer in it being a right fit for both parties. And the expectations need to align. The last thing I ever want to do, you know, one of the things I've always said is our reputation is our net worth. And I care a significant amount about my reputation. So for me to bring on a not so great fit business opportunity, it would be in my best interest to respectfully decline and to, you know, I really believe in building from the inside and growing out. So majority of my business, I would say, is Nassau, Suffolk County. And I do have opportunity to scale, but to be frank with you, I'm not looking to do it right now. I have a lot of plates spinning in the air with other projects I'm working on. You know, COVID gave me a great opportunity to really take a step out of the forest and look at the trees of my business to be able to adapt and modify some of the things that work, don't work, could work better. I'm a little bit of an optimization junkie. So really bettering my business, not just for myself, but for my clients and for my network, has been a big focus of, you know, my COVID time.
That's interesting about the being an optimization junkie. I'm a bit of a process junkie myself. I'm always looking for a way to build a process. So I live my life by forms and by step-by-step process. I sometimes think my clients vacillate between thinking it's great and thinking it's horrible because I'm going to ask them that question and they have to have a bunch of answers for me. When you think of optimizing something like business development and networking, what do you use as a measurement of whether it's your effectiveness or it's your performance or your growth? What are some of those measurements for you that you look at?
For myself or for my client?
You know, maybe for both, but let's start with your clients and then move back to how you measure for yourself.
So one of the things I've really learned is you can't be everything to everyone. And that's been tough for me. That's been a hard pill for me to swallow because I genuinely...
It's hard for most people.
Yeah. And, you know, one of my mentors says that his name is Greg Pajak. And, you know, he's made it very clear to me multiple times, you can't be everything to everyone. And what I have to say to, you know, in regards to the question you're asking me of optimization with my clients, what somebody wants versus what somebody needs are two very different things. And I've given my clients what they want, but I've unfortunately seen that it's not what they need and it's done actually a disservice to them. For example, one of my clients, they were hungry for more business and I was able to build them a great plan and we implement the plan and they have business coming in all over the place right now and they can't grow their crew right now. They're not able to get the work done in the same timely manner at the quality they want. And they are a quality-based shop, so to be cranking out quantity versus a quality, it's a big disconnect for them. And one of the concerns I had for them when we engaged in this relationship was, can you handle it? And they said, absolutely. And what I realized is I gave them what they want, but not what they needed. And I actually did a disservice to them, even though they're happy with my work and they have a good problem on their hands. The issue that we run into now is, the business is not running in an optimized, it needs help. You know, the wheel is broken a little bit. So unfortunately, you know, they are a seasonal business. So right now they're in the heart of their business season. So we can't really take that step out of the forest to look at the trees. But one of the things I love about this client is they completely trust me. They give me the keys to the shop. They don't question anything. They say whatever you think is right. And what's awesome about that is that I've been able to, from the connection standpoint, I've been able to bring in the resources that I have access to help me structure a little bit more of their efficiency in their business model. So even though right now they're struggling a lot better than they would be without me. And one of my other role models and mentors says to me that my clients are much better off with me than without me, which I agree with. But at the same token, it needs to make sense for both parties. And I genuinely believe that this client never experienced what it is that a business developer can do for them. And now them seeing it, unfortunately, you know, now they're on the inside looking out, but before they were on the outside looking in, and they just couldn't make sense of it.
You've mentioned having mentors a couple of times. What, you know, how have you worked with those people that you consider mentors? Have you, whether you had a formal structure with your mentors, or have you, had people that you consider a mentor that you may have, that you may have taken some learnings from?
So the mentors I've had, they've come in lots of different shapes and sizes. One of the things that I'm very passionate about is continuing education. And it's not what you know, it's what you don't know that you need to know. And all the mentors that I've surrounded myself with, they all complement me as a business professional in a different way. They all add a different flavor that make the baking, you know, if you're making a cookie, then, you know, they're a good mix of the sugar, the flour, the egg, and everything else. So my goal with surrounding myself with the mentors that I have, some I talk to more frequently than others, some I talk to every single day, some I talk to once a month or maybe even once a year. But the fact that they've paid it forward, they've taken me under their wing, they are active as they can be in my world, it makes a big difference for me to help those around me. One of my favorite terms is adapting and modifying. You know, I've had some mentors that were just awful mentors, but they've been a great mentor at the same time, meaning I've learned what not to do and what I don't want to do and how I want to either treat people or treat business. And they've been a great mentor because I've disagreed with the way that they do things, but I've been able to be aware of what I like and don't like, and I've been able to adapt and modify those strengths and weaknesses into my own personal brand.
Sure. I know what you mean. It's funny to hear somebody say they're a good mentor, bad mentor. I once said to someone who was a boss as I left and we parted on decent terms, and now we're great friends, but I said, you went from being my mentor to being my tormentor, and that's not really good. So we, you know, but we parted on good terms, so I do understand. So Adam, for people who would, you know, like to get to know more about Connections for Hire, more about you, and more about how to work with you, maybe you can talk to us for a little bit about the ways that people can connect with you and what they can expect if they're coming to work with you.
So I care a significant amount about helping people, but it needs to be the right fit for the right time. So there's five different factors, you know, I call them my qualifying factors for me to potentially work with somebody. And these five factors, they don't just come into play for them to become a client of mine. They come into play for them to be in my network, someone that I would consider a trusted advisor, somebody that I'm comfortable recommending or connecting to either a client of mine or another networking partner of mine. And those five things that I look for, the first one I call is a burning, relentless desire. They're motivated, they want it, and they have a certain level of hustle and grind to get it. That's very important to me. The second is reputation. I've always said, once again, your reputation is your net worth. If somebody has a bad reputation or if somebody has done something, it's not that I don't believe in second chances, because I do, but if I'm going to represent somebody that has a bad reputation, it's a reflection on me as a professional, and it's a reflection on my network. And that person might not be the right fit. However, I do want to help everybody however I can. Once again, it comes back to that complex of being everything to everyone. So from an advice standpoint, or maybe a coaching or consulting standpoint, I do currently work with business professionals that have done something that, you know, they've regretted doing, whatever the case is, but they still want that second chance. So I represent them on a different level. But going back to those five things, so those are the first two, motivation and reputation. The third one is probably one of the most important, and that is delivering a quality product and service. if I'm going to be leveraging my relationships and helping build referral partnerships and help lead generation to a client of mine, they need to deliver a certain quality product and service that's going to complement me representing them. Because if I represent someone that's not delivering and I'm representing them as a brand ambassador, to a sense, it's a reflection on me potentially to hurt my reputation. And that's something I have to be very careful of. The fourth thing that I look for is someone that's generous, someone that's a giver, somebody that wants to help, wants to make a difference. They're not just looking at opportunities from the commission breath standpoint where they're just trying to sell, sell, sell. I need someone that understands the value of giving. It could be charity by making donations. It could be donating your time. It could be just offering help to people that need the help of what you do. It's very important to me that people are givers that I work with that are in my network. And the fifth and final thing that I look for is positive mindset. I'm a very positive person. You know, we all have our own head trash, you know, as Sandler would say. Working with positive people where you're surrounding yourself with optimism and not the negative side of it, it's very important to me because I'm creative. I'm a brainstormer. I'm an outside the box thinker. You know, working with somebody that's coachable, somebody that wants to learn, wants to better themselves and has that positive mindset, that's a very important factor because who we surround ourselves with is a reflection of our, you know, who we are. And those are the five qualifying factors that I really look for in representing either somebody as a client or allowing them into my network as someone that I consider a trusted advisor or networking partner.
That's great. So, you know, assuming there's someone who, you know, listening and says, you know, I think I have these attributes or, you know, I aspire to these attributes. How can they connect with you and what's the next step for you and for them?
That's a great question. So I really believe in putting yourself out there and coming straight out and saying, I heard you on this podcast, or I've read your, you know, one of your blogs, your articles, or I've heard you speak before, and I like what you're about, and I'd like to connect with you. I don't necessarily care if they want to become a client of mine, if they just want to be in my network, if there's someone that sees value in who I am or who I surround myself with. So I would say LinkedIn, they can just type in my name, Adam Holzer. They can look up my company, Connections for Hire. They can visit my website and send me an email contact form. I mean, one of my favorite things is when someone will actually reach out to someone I'm connected with on LinkedIn. And I'll actually say to someone I'm connected with, hey, I see you're connected with Adam Holzer. You know, he seems like someone that would be a good, you know, good person to meet. What's your thoughts? Should I connect with him? And I've literally had people like send me an email or a phone call or a text message immediately and say, hey, Adam, you know, so-and-so wants to connect with you. They saw your post. They're not connected with you. They wanted me to introduce you. And that's one of the biggest compliments that I can get, Arthur, because you know, it makes me feel special when somebody finds value, not just in what I'm offering, but in something that I'm genuinely passionate about.
That's fantastic. Well, Adam, thank you so much for being a guest here, talking about, you know, what I think is really truth in networking and truth in connecting. Moving beyond the very simple networking that social media connecting that we do. And I really appreciate your insights here. And my guest has been Adam Holzer, founder and master connector at Connections for Hire. And look for him on LinkedIn, Adam, Holzer. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, Arthur. It's been great.
Build a better brand story for your business. Schedule a complimentary consultation with the brand tellers at Communication Strategy Group. Send a note to contact-us@gocsg.com or visit us at communicationstrategygroup.com/contact.